This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Thursday. My voice is going. You guys can tell a little bit. Probably because I spent most of my day screaming into the phone yesterday. Take you guys inside the mind of a psychopath here in a moment. I'm Woodsy. In fact, that is the psychopath in question. Paul Reindel, executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, man. To my left, the calming influence of Ben and Woods, Benjamin R. Higgins.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Ben. I feel like I need to do some work this morning.
No, you already did. I'm fine. I'm good.
Good.
I'm fine. But I will take you inside the mind of a true psychopath, myself, as I am on this journey of self-discovery, this journey of getting in touch with me and trying to be the best version of myself. Doesn't always come out, right? Like, it's hard. We're not always our best versions of ourselves. And I do wonder if I should give this man a chance to wake up and maybe call in this morning. What do you think?
No.
Okay. Just go right to it.
Yeah. I think
okay.
Just jump right in.
Fair enough. All right. So yesterday, you know, this is what happens every day. But I went to pick Bo up from school, and I've got some time to kill. I go moronically early to sit and wait, and I have a parking spot. But I like to go. I like to do my phone calls and my texts and stuff in the car, and I wait. So he's not doesn't walk out, and his old man's not there. So I call Paulie, as I usually do. Just shoot the breeze. Paulie probably rolls his eyes every day he gets. He's like, oh, God, here we go. And no. And Paulie's laughing. He's we were talking for a second, and he goes, dude, it's so funny. I go, what? He goes, I literally just got off the phone with our boss, Adam, our beloved Adam. And I said, oh, yeah? What did he have to say? Because we had a meeting with Adam after the show yesterday, yeah, about the Christmas and holiday extravaganza. And I said, what was that about? He goes, well, he called to ask me if I wanted to host afternoons 2 to 6 on Friday. And I go, oh. And he goes, I go, what'd you say? And he goes, well, I mean, I told him no. I said, that's a ridiculously long day. And I said, well, who would you be with? He's like, it would just be me. And I go, well, that's insanity. Like, I couldn't do that with a gun to my head. 4 hours solo in the off season?
November?
Bro, forget it. And I go, what did you say? And he goes, I told him absolutely not. It was going to be too long of a day. And this is what got me. This is what made my hair turn white. Is he said, well, I was just going to pull you off of Ben and Woods on Friday, and then I'll put me or Italian Paul in, and then you can host. That's when your boy lost his mind. I go, excuse me?
It was more like, from my perspective, hey, Woods, you're never going to believe this.
Yeah.
So I just got off the phone with Adam.
Yeah,
he asked if I wanted to host afternoons on Friday. What?
That's how it really sounded?
Yeah. And so instead of a long day, I think it would just be like I do the afternoon show, and then he or Frank fills in for me in the morning. What?
I go, excuse me? I go, absolutely not. There's no way. And when I said it, I didn't mean it to be a joke, but I said, why would we rob Peter to pay Paul?
I said,
literally, Paul. Literally. So I'm sitting there going, wait. So let me, this is when I say I'm a psychopath, this is what I'm talking about. So obviously it was an overreaction on my part, because it usually is. And I go home and I think about it, and I lay in bed last night, and this is what goes through my mind. Am I standing in the way of Paul Reindl being a host? Did he, in fact, say thanks but no thanks? Not because it's not something he desires, but he didn't want to make me mad. So did he go home and tell his wife, yeah, I guess I could have hosted Friday, but I knew Woods would hit the roof, and I guess I'll just kick that dream on down the road. And
so let me just stop you right there. I want to get more inside the mind of this psychopath before us.
Dude, it's nuts.
You know that's not true.
I know it's not true.
So why does that even reach your brain?
Are we sure? Hold on. Now, Paulie, you grew up in Seattle area, listening to sports talk radio, guys like Softy.
Oh, the great
legend in the game. Now he hosts, doesn't he host in the afternoons
as
well?
Yeah, afternoon guy.
3 to 7
3 to 7. Could you have ever imagined that when you were growing up, like in, 15 years, you'd be working at a very successful radio station, number one station in town, and your boss would come and say, Paulie, we'd like you to host the show, like Softy in the afternoon, a 4-hour show, the Paul Reindl show. You'd like
now if Ben would have called me yesterday. you might be screwed tomorrow.
he gave you that sales pitch.
He's selling.
Like this is the dream, Paulie. You got a chance to make your mark on the world of sports talk radio with your own 4-hour program on a highly successful radio station.
I feel like Rod Tidwell right now. Yeah, this is working. Keep going.
Yeah, more.
So here's the thing. Not really. Maybe at one point that was an aspiration, but a couple things to that. I've gotten really good at what I do, I think.
Yes, you are.
And the three of us.
The best I've ever worked with by far. Wide margin. And no offense to other, board ops and producers I've worked with, but Paulie, you are a master and a genius at what you do.
Part two of that equation is that I'm already on a successful show where I can kind of just jump in and say what I need to say whenever I feel like it.
That was the other part of it for me is in my mind, I went, and I said this on the phone to Paulie, and I guess I shouldn't have spoken for him, but I said, what creative itch do you need to scratch? I said, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. You have your own segment. If you want another segment, I'll give you another one. I've never, ever, Paul, you can attest to this, I've never said, sorry, bro, you got to stay under our thumb here and be our producer. But it doesn't make any sense to me ever to weaken your morning show to just fill in for an afternoon show. No offense to anybody. That's not meant to be offensive. Don't weaken. You don't take one head of the threeness away.
Well, now 2 day parts are suffering.
Correct. And so, look, because nothing against Italian Paul or even Adam filling in on the board, it ain't the same. It's not the same. And we had a commitment to each other years ago, and it was never really spoken. But it was essentially look, man, it's all for one and one for all. We are the three musketeers. We will stick together. Let's all become the greatest we can be at our respective.
A threesome would be fun.
Let's all become the best we can be at our respective roles on the show. I'm never going to try to be Ben. Ben should never try to be me. We're never going to be Paulie. But I said, why would you take my producer away? Why would you take my producer away? That's when we need to be the best we can be on Friday. Not we need to be at 2/3 strength. So I my mind went, I was a rocket ship. And now I didn't call him. I just sat on it and I stewed on it and I laid in bed last night going, you know how else my mind works? Guilt. Ravaged with guilt. So then to myself I thought, well, I guess I could just come in and do the show if I need to. So now Paulie's put in this weird position because he's got to say no, and that makes him feel bad.
So you're not wrong that you do apply some unspoken pressure on both of us.
In
terms of, yeah, you do.
How so?
There, I mean, as you said, it was unspoken, but you do set
Ben's
the
like,
tone.
It was
of,
extremely unspoken.
You do set the tone of expectations for what you know you want this show to be, and it's actually a really, really, really good thing. But I think Paulie and I do both feel it, and I don't want you to feel guilty about it. I want you to feel proud that you have a couple of people here who would like to live up to your standards.
You guys already do.
Of what you want radio to be.
You've exceeded it.
Don't feel guilty about having high standards.
You guys have exceeded
it. But no one should feel guilty about having high standards. Does sometimes it mean, Paulie, be honest, because I feel this way too. Does sometimes it mean like, all right, you know, we got to make sure Woods is going to be happy with this.
Wait. And how did okay I become the villain here?
You're not the villain.
No. Adam is the villain.
You're not
I
the villain.
I didn't do anything. All I wanted to do is come in and do my show with the three of us like we always do on a Friday. This shouldn't be flipped on me. I support everybody. I'm happy. I just want to come in and kick ass in the morning.
I think to answer your question, Ben, I think that desire to want to produce good quality radio was always there for me, and Woods just naturally brought it out the best.
I see that as well. And I feel the same way.
I don't roll my eyes.
Be honest. You don't worry about me, and I don't worry about you. But we both worry about him a little bit.
You should.
Yeah. I'd say that's fair.
That's true. It's 100% true, and I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It really is a good thing. Now, if we were all that way,
it'd be a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare. Yeah. And if we were all like me,
it would be a nightmare.
Would be kind of a nightmare as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's why the show works.
It's why it's always worked. It's why you don't break it up. It's why you don't break it up when you don't have to.
You've had other shows where it's been too much in the other direction.
Yep.
And for some reason, and this was really just dumb luck. Honestly,
it's so such dumb luck.
When they put us together,
it made no sense.
The personalities of the three of us are very complementary terms of how, not just on the air during our 4-hour show, but the other 20 hours of the day when we're not on the air. It's very complementary in being able to get things done, divide the work,
divide and conquer,
yep. needs to be worried about and what doesn't need to be worried about. And I can't say that we actually, I mean, yeah, we put in work to make that happen, but a lot of it is just
how
the
it is.
Natural of who we are and how we approach things. And we're very lucky that way.
We are very lucky. So I guess I didn't understand. And then I laid there last night and I my brain just wouldn't stop of like, all right, am I standing in Paulie's way? Now, let's be honest, if we're just in here being honest right now. When you said no, and you say it had nothing to do with me, when you said no, did you feel like a turd because you weren't helping out the 97.3 The Fan? That's the other unintended consequence of when that happened.
This wasn't the first time I've been asked to do a show, whether it's a weekend show, morning, whatever. Yeah. Like, sometimes you guys have been, like, we've taken a show off where you both were gone or had something going on, and I was just, cool, I'm taking the day off. I'm
100%.
Because I'm not doing a 4-hour show by myself. I don't have, like, segments and bits and games, you know, planned and all that. Like, if I did, we'd be doing it on Ben and Woods.
Exactly. It's exactly right.
So, yeah.
Hey, listen.
And I told him, I'm like, look, he's like, you know, I know I've asked you in the past. I'm like, hey, I appreciate the offer. I do. You're thinking I could do that.
And in my mind, I'm like, don't you ever ask him again.
And I said, just, you know, you can keep asking if you want, but the idea of grinding an off-season week, doing 4 hours in the morning, and then, like, getting off work at 6 p.m. and sitting in traffic. I'm like,
I can't imagine. And it's not, that's the thing, is like, and Paulie then was on the phone to me, beating himself up a little bit, going, I mean, like, does that mean I'm, like, not a grinder? I go, bro, you're the guy that's on call for him 24/7. You're making graphics and stuff for the station. I go, you do a ton, man. You do a ton of it. Admin.
You're on call for him. You're on
call for me. Yeah, I said, you're on call.
Ben doesn't really call me.
No, I said, don't worry about it. But so I'm nonplussed by the whole situation. I don't know what they're going to do now. But now, of course, I'm laying there last night going, should I just come in and do it?
Yeah,
am I not a team player? Are we not team players if we don't come in and do a double shift?
I don't know. Maybe we should just put it up for the tier ones.
Let them do it.
Have a tier one show. Come on in, and you know we can have some of our moderators.
Boy,
some of our
I chats. Think they tried that at another Come station. Yeah, I don't think it worked very well.
I'll do the afternoon show on Friday if you guys do it as well. And what it might just sound exactly like tomorrow morning's
Maybe
show.
You just replay our show from 2 to 6. Do us a solid.
Here's the thing. If you really wanted it, if we knew in your heart it was important to you, we'd both be there for you.
Correct.
I believe that.
That's true.
We would do the Paul Reindel show from 2 to 6
featuring Ben and Woods.
Ben and Woods.
Oh, and by the way, Bo and Taylor, because Mama just got on a plane to New York City. So it would be Paulie featuring Ben, Woods, Bo, and Taylor for 4 hours on a Friday. Again, I've said this a million times. Paulie said... If Paulie came to me and goes, dude, I love doing this. I love our success, everything else. But I really want to be a host. You know me. I'd be like, well, let's get you up to speed. Paulie, let me listen to a couple of your ideas. Paulie, let me help you. You know I would. I'm a coach by nature. All I want to do is be like a consultant. So maybe if I coach you into success, I can quit and just consult other upstart young hosts. And I said, please. If he ever came to me and said, I really, really want to be a host, you know we would help him launch his career somewhere. That's how we are wired, Ben, both of us.
And probably already would have happened.
It probably already would have happened. So I don't know what to do. I feel guilty. I feel guilty for being mad at Adam. I know Adam's, you know, he's just trying to do his job and cover that shift.
But it's not your fault.
You can't take my producer from me on a Friday. You just can't. I need him. We need him.
Roth in the chat says, therapy going well this morning.
It's going great.
So we talked it out. It was a little extra foreplay there. I think we've come to a good resolution.
Do you think so? Because I could do 45 more minutes on this.
I don't know that Adam has come to any resolution. He still has 4 hours to fill on a Friday.
Yes, he does. Yes,
and
he
that
does.
Could be a problem.
We could just spend the rest of the morning finding a fill-in host.
That's true.
Auditions
open,
live on Ben
open
Woods.
Tryouts.
Shout out SD. Let's take some phone calls. Hey, and listen, just so you know, you don't have the chops for it. I don't have the chops for it. He doesn't have the chops for 4 hours. I've been there just going.
I've been doing this 25 years. The thought of just sitting down
repulsive.
And going, you've got 4 hours is.
It's you and Adam.
Frightening.
It's frightening. I did it. I'm the only one that's done it with Adam, just me and him. It was the worst day of my life. I was like, this was excruciatingly difficult. So kudos to all of
you. I mean, the solo show
is impossible.
It's kind of lost art at this point. I mean, everybody's got somebody to like kick ideas off of.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
Sidekick, whatever.
Would you've been hosting, like running the board, too. Like yourself.
I would imagine he would have had a board up.
Maybe. A board up.
Yeah. I don't know.
Scraby Which is even worse.
Scraby just sits there, runs the board, and does his own show. It's only an hour, but
That's
he just
insane,
sits there by himself for an entire hour.
But again, I'd feel like a jerk if I'm coming up with all these ideas that I think are good, right?
I'm listening going, whether or not wait, where was that?
Yeah, whether or not they're good or not is besides the point. If I thought they were good enough to try on tomorrow afternoon's show, I'm like... Why weren't we doing these in the morning?
He comes up with these brilliant games and ideas, and I'm
just
listening.
A-list guests.
I'm listening at home, just rocking back and forth.
Crap. That would have been pretty funny.
That would have actually been really good. Now, the other thing
still
is,
saying no.
Listening to Paul absolutely drown for 4 hours would have been a great Monday show. Not for Paul, but for me and you and for the dear ones.
See, now here's a great idea, EC Money. Just a show full of drops. Just play them for four straight hours.
You can't.
The entire board.
You can't do it. You can't do it. There's got to be structure to one
Hooter
of these shows.
Research.
Ben, you do a great job.
Bob Pilates.
I love
ganja, a.k.a.
Dang
cannabis.
It.
You guys want that?
Coming back with our next
All right, we'll be back with our next trough of drops. All right, we are way late. Oh, God, that's so good.
We laugh, but today is the one-year anniversary of an incredibly sad day in San Diego. But yes. I don't want this to be a sad day, and I don't think he'd want this to be a sad day either. But we'll talk about it when we come back. Set the menu for a Thursday, a throwback Thursday edition of Ben and Woods. Thank you for indulging us. You do every single morning. It's Ben Higgins. It's Paul Reindel. It's Stephen Woods. We got Kelly Danick's traffic. And then back in a minute here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So it was 1 year ago that we lost Peter Seidler here in San Diego. And while that remains just a transformatively and sad moment for not the just the Padres, but the city, I also think that the legacy
planet.
Is... The planet,
the literal
yes.
planet. Like, that's not a joke. Like, the literal planet.
Feels like the legacy continues on as strong as ever. And anyone is going to have the... I mean, the far-reaching impact that Peter Seidler, like, just continues to shape us, how we feel, how we want this community to be going forward, that we carry on that legacy that's so important that it makes me feel like kind of it's almost a happy day, even though it's sad. It's also just the fact that you can have an impact like the one that he had in his life is, to me, something that warms my heart to this very day.
Yeah, I see that. You know, I definitely see that, and I see so many people still talking about, you know, the legacy, and it goes so far beyond of winning a World Series. I mean, obviously, that's what he, one of the things that he wanted to do, but, man, I often, you know, I'm a dad, I think about his kids, I think about how fond they are of him, I think about the day that he passed away. You know, we hadn't talked to him in a while. We had planned on talking to him, and it did not work out, and never got a chance to, you know, really say goodbye to him. So we did that show, and every time I've talked to his widow, Sheil, you know, she's thanked me every single time for that show because her kids can go back and listen to the callers, us talking about our experiences with him, and just a great man and an example, a really fine example. And I know I at home with my kids fall very, very short of the example that Peter Seidler set. I know I fall short in every single way, but it's certainly something to aspire to, you know, to at least try to have more Peter Seidler in you.
I still think back to, you know, just some of the little interactions we had with him. The day we were at freezing cold at spring training, and he came out bundled up, and I mean we were all just absolutely panicked. Freezing. Like
we can't have this man
out here. We're all going to freeze to death.
Yeah.
On the patio in Peoria.
Also, it's like maybe you morons don't make the owner wait outside for 20 minutes. Like, what were we doing that we couldn't just bang immediately and just bring him on?
He was like lingering in the background,
and like,
waiting,
and I'm doing the like. So sorry. Five minutes. Be right with you. Right with you. Just idiots. Just total idiots. But no, he's a great man. I love his whole family, man. I love Tom and the ones I've met. And Sheil, I just adore. And the kids of his that I've met, they're just fantastic. And, you know, you think about it with your children. Like, or what will my legacy be? You know, screaming at his boss probably will be my legacy. But, you know, you just... He's somebody that you aspire to be like, you know, whether it's out there trying to help your community, whether it's trying to be a great husband and father, no matter what it is, he's just a great example, man. And there's just not many of those left.
Obviously, the Padres set up the Peter Seidler Legacy Foundation, and they've done the matching donations all this past year. The Tier 1 baseball team via Stephen Woods has donated tons.
Tons. I mean, we've had a great time.
Raised
with it
thousands
too.
Of dollars because of that. But if you want to do something to remember Peter, you don't even have to give a dollar today. Just think of someone else. Like, be caring about someone else in your life. Someone you know, someone you don't know, complete stranger. To me, as I've thought about it more and more this last year, that really was Peter's legacy, is that he cared not just about his family or the Padres family or Padres fans or his employees. He cared about everybody. He cared about complete strangers that he would run into on the street that he didn't know their story. The unhoused, the people who have nothing in this world. And he cared. He didn't just He just didn't do it because, oh, you know, this would look good, you know, public relations-wise. Yeah. He did it because he absolutely cared about those people, his midnight strolls that were, you know, became famous after his passing. And to me, that is the most incredible legacy of all. The one thing that's probably the hardest for the rest of us to live up to. It's hard to care about people you don't know, that you don't see, that you're probably not going to interact with. That's the... It's easy to care about someone you see every day or your own family, but caring about people that you don't know, that you've never met, but genuinely caring about them, that's his greatest legacy.
No doubt.
Peter had more money than any of us could ever dream of, and you would never have known it if you just ran into him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could...
He didn't act like it.
You could find online pictures of him holding, you know, the big checks, and those are easy photo ops for people like a Peter Seidler. Think about the thousands of stories, though, that you don't know about.
Of course.
The person that he helped at a 7-Eleven,
right.
You know, the person that he helped on the street, the person that he helped at the ballpark, whatever. Like, the photo op opportunities, those are always there.
Yeah, you have to do them, actually. Like, you can't get, if you can't own a baseball team and not, like, have to do those.
Exactly. But they're just the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of stories of interactions that Peter had with people that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
That's what always inspired me about
him. Kyle just says, what a horrible gut punch that was. I remember where I was. It was just such a shock. We'll keep the legacy going, Papa Pete. Yeah, 100%, man. I woke up in L.A. and was just, the drive home was terrible. And I can't believe it's been a year, man. That year has actually flown by. And, man, was proud to know him. Proud to know him. Loved him, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, and obviously baseball-wise, you know, he changed things really forever here
changed
in San
game.
Diego.
Yeah.
Changed the game. The investment that he made in his team and his players. And we talked about it yesterday. You know, advocating for maybe a little extra spending here this offseason for the Padres. And I understand payrolls will go up. They will go down. It's a business. They will fluctuate. What I don't want to see stop, though, and I don't think is going to, you know, with A.J. Preller as the general manager, that dedicated pursuit to win a World Series. It may look different in different years. You know, you have different strategies, you know, subtracting $90 million and getting as close as you've gotten
in
a while.
That's a strategy.
But, I mean, you know, you don't know what's eventually going to work. But I don't doubt that the strategy is still, hey, we want to win a World Series. There may be different ways to go about it, but that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to, you know, bring in 25,000 fans and have a nice experience at the ballpark. Those days are gone, man. Maybe finish 500. They want to win a World Series. I know they do at that team, and that's also Peter's baseball legacy here in San Diego.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, we're a little overdue. Just quickly on the menu, we will talk some Padres, including a new opinion on Roky Sasaki's potential landing spot.
Interesting stuff.
I've got a couple of under-the-radar free agents that, you know, there's a ton of names out there. No idea who the Padres are actually pursuing, but there's got to be a couple of surprises coming our way, right?
Every year.
At some point, there's going to be a drop. Oh, the Padres just signed blank. And we go, didn't see that coming. So I want to see if we can try to guess as to who one or two of those guys might be this offseason. So we'll talk about that. It's a throwback Thursday. We'll take it back in our 7 o'clock hour to one of our favorite moments.
Oh, not a favorite moment, actually.
Not a favorite moment. Well, this was not a great moment, personally. It's fine. We'll bring it back.
One of your worst, I would say.
It's actually one of your worst moments.
And then 8:35, we'll have a good friend joining us. He's got his big wishbone brawl coming up at Goat Hill Park. The caretaker, John Ashworth.
The goat.
If you haven't heard who is going to be the headliner
next
week up in Oceanside, then stay tuned. You'd be surprised.
Staggering.
You're going to be surprised. So we'll talk to him at 8:35. Our football threesome at 9:20. And then head on to 10 o'clock and Annie and Elston this morning. But we'll come back. A little Padres talk and some new Roky Sasaki news when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
One year soon, the baseball gods will smile on the San Diego Padres and we will have a parade.
Is it possible the Dodgers are not the favorites to land pitcher Roky Sasaki of Japan this offseason? Some new thoughts on the subject coming out this morning. And I think they echo, actually, some of the things I've been thinking and saying about the pursuit of Roki Sasaki. We'll get to those right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I will say a lot of smart baseball people have written a lot of words about Roki Sasaki in this past week. And I respect all of their opinions, but anything you hear right now about Roki Sasaki is almost certainly just an opinion. I don't think there's any actual reporting or knowledge of what he intends to do other than come over. He has said himself, I am ready to come over and play in the United States, and I am beginning the process of getting posted. Beyond that, it's just speculation and trying to make some logical leaps. And most reporters, Woods, as you've seen, have made the logical leap that the Dodgers are anywhere from slight to heavy favorites to land Roki Sasaki.
I actually haven't seen them slight at all. This is the first real person going on record giving them a slight chance, a more slight chance than 85%.
So Jim Bowden's been very opinionated in his joining The Athletic, former general manager of the Washington Nationals. Always seems to have thoughts. Sometimes he's right, sometimes he's dead wrong about his opinions. But he's the first person in a piece that was posted early this morning that actually doesn't believe Roki Sasaki is going to end up with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he lists a couple of reasons for it. He feels like Sasaki, to make up for the fact that he won't be able to sign a big contract, he has to sign a minor league deal with a, you know, a minimal signing bonus, he's going to try to make that up in endorsement money. But he feels like with Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto already with the Dodgers, that really puts a cap and a ceiling on what Roki Sasaki, who would be the third most popular Japanese player on his own team, would actually be able to make in endorsement money. So he feels like that's actually a big point against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He also feels like the intense media scrutiny that would involve joining the Dodgers and their just horde of Japanese reporters that follow Shohei's every single move, probably not desirable to a 23-year-old who's coming over from Japan, that he would much rather land somewhere that's not quite in the eye of the storm when it comes to Japanese. And they're, I mean, they have some gnarly media coverage over there.
They said as high as 25 to 35 people per game, every game, again, following Shohei's every single move. Makes sense. He's the Elvis of Japan. I mean, it makes perfect sense. That's how they do it, man. And yeah, if you're coming over, that's a lot. It's already going to be a lot. Hey, brand new country, brand new language, brand new teammates, brand new city, brand new, you know, how to get around, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that's one little piece of copium I think we can bite down on and hope for that, you know, maybe a nice, I don't know, maybe a nice laid back beach town, you know, with some soft media like Ben and me.
Well, they'll have Japanese reporters here. They already do for Yu Darvish.
Yep.
There's like one or two that follow you. There was one or two that followed Ha-Sung Kim from Korea. He won't go unnoticed.
Correct. Not going under the radar anywhere, really.
It won't be like TMZ. Essentially, if you're Shohei Ohtani, it's the TMZ cameras. You are, unless you're like in your own home and the curtains are down, someone is filming you, someone is watching you every second of the day.
I saw a gnarly video with Yoshinobu Yamamoto walking with his wife down the street and not getting assaulted per se, but just worn out by the media. And he's like, yeah. Like, it's just more. It's L.A. That's what you do there. That's not a knock. That's just what happens.
One thing that I'm pretty convinced of is that the Dodgers don't really have to go through the process that the rest of the teams do. He either wants to be a Dodger, play with Ohtani and Yamamoto, or he doesn't. And I don't think there's much the Dodgers can or can't do to change his mind. If he's already decided, it's my dream to play with Shohei, I want to join this team. Listen, what can any of the other 29 teams offer?
Nothing.
That's probably the
easiest courting of all 30 teams. And, I mean, for the Dodgers, like, they're the class of Major League Baseball right now. But you either want us or you don't.
Conversely, if he doesn't want that, if he doesn't want to be the third player from Japan on that team, if he doesn't want to join a team that's already won a World Series and have that, you know, pressure of the Japanese and Los Angeles media circus, then they have no chance. there's nothing they can do to talk him into it at that point, I think. It's pretty much, I think, already decided one way or another. The Dodgers are either it or they're definitely not it.
Yeah, and what Jim says in his article, quote, based on what I'm hearing, I think the Padres, Rays, Mets, and Braves are all more likely to sign Sasaki than the Dodgers. And several other teams will be in the mix. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't be surprised if he ends up in Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like, it's about where he feels comfortable. It's about what's best for him.
But if all these teams are in the mix, as everyone
speculates. I'd be surprised if he ended up in Colorado.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. Young pitcher subjecting himself to Coors Field.
Coors Field, that team.
No, he's like, I really want the challenge. He's like, no, you don't. His agent's like, you don't have, no, like. I can find you other challenges, okay? Like
their payroll is $14 million.
It's still going to be a challenge wherever you go, Roki. But, yeah, I mean, due process of elimination. I mean, literally 29 other teams.
If he truly only wants to maximize his endorsements.
New York.
The Yankees would be the...
Or the Mets.
I would think the biggest choice.
And even the Mets.
Him.
The Mets have Kodai Senga.
Do the Yankees have any Japanese stars?
No, I mean, Yankees.
I mean, he'd be the first since... Hideki Matsui
is
a major Japanese star playing in pinstripes.
Godzilla, the best. I love that guy. Man, he was good. He was a good player. I mean,
as far as like global brand awareness in all major sports, it's the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Lakers.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's not even a question. The Yankee hat, it's a fashion statement.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be a player too. But again, you know, if you're talking about some of the things that Jim Bowden's talking about, Bowden or Bowden?
Bowden. Bowden.
Talking about some of those things, yeah, you're coming over here and you're going to join the New York Yankees. Is that, are you ready for that? Like, are you ready for all that comes with it? This kid's makeup, from what I understand, is pretty solid. So I think, you know, look, whoever gets him, they're going to be supremely lucky. I do like that the Padres were mentioned kind of first in this.
Well, but I think the Padres are the kind of the balanced choice.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be the biggest market, but they're also not a backwater that's, you know, it's the West Coast. It's a team that's ready to win.
Yeah.
It's a ballpark.
They got good players.
You know, good players, good atmosphere to pitch in.
Good pitching coach.
They've got the most argument.
Yeah.
They don't maybe have the best argument for anything, but they've got a very well-rounded argument in terms of support with Hideo Nomo and Yu Darvish. He's got a little bit of everything that he might be looking for with the Padres organization.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. I'll put this on record. I'll give up my 7 Mile Casino money for Roki Sasaki to take my place at 7 Mile. As much as I love 7 Mile, I will step aside, sir. How about you?
I'm not sure that would be allowed under Major League Baseball current rules.
All right, well, let me think. Let me think. No, can't have QC Kinetics. I really, really.
You want to keep that one?
Yeah, because I get hurt a lot.
If he'd like, I mean, he's a slender fellow, but if he needs some SDFatLoss.com.
I'm not giving him Eco Water.
Money,
I'm not giving him Eco Water. I'm sorry. I love the Eco Water. They come and they rip the system out of my home. I'm furious. Even if it means Roki Sasaki, I'm not giving that up.
I'm Roki Sasaki for Prize Picks.
Yeah, for Prize Picks.
Would you like to pick more or less than 8.5 strikeouts for me today?
Oh, yeah. Masahiro Tanaka was a huge Japanese star for the Yankees. Yeah, he was.
More
he
recently
was really, really
than
good.
Hideki Matsui, that's true.
But yeah, Jace of Seattle, too. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I think they've got a chance.
They had Ichiro. And look, we've done this with every single player that's come over from Japan. But yeah, and Dominic says, how does this work? Are all GMs coming in for the pitch like Shark Tank? I really have no idea. From what I understand, I mean, the courting process, I think, is going on as we speak.
I don't know if technically until he's been posted, because there's a 45-day window.
But, like, I don't know where these videos are, new, old, whatever, but there's a video going around of Yu Darvish helping him work on his slider. That could have been in the offseason. I have no idea. But
well,
I know Yu was in Japan.
They were together on the World Baseball Classic team
in
2023.
That could
so
have
that's
been
when
that.
some of the Yu Darvish stuff came. And you can't stop a player from talking to a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think A.J. Preller can officially, like, knock on his door and make a pitch until he has been posted in that 45-day window.
Bowden says at the very end, his last sentence in the Athletics is, we won't know the winner until January 15th or later.
So that's the other little thing that Bowden at least believes. And again, I think this is just his opinion, but it hasn't been officially announced when he's being posted. It makes way more sense for him to wait until after December 2nd. so he can sign on January 15th and get more money when all those pools
open up.
Are refreshed, you know, and every team has, you know, theoretically their maximum amount to offer him. When if he signed before that, there's only the Dodgers, and they only have like a third of what they could normally offer. So it really doesn't make any sense to sign before then. So I do expect him to wait, as Jim Bowden said, until January 15th to sign.
Do we need to do more to help recruit? I asked Paulie the other day, should we learn some Japanese? Should we try to court him through social media? How about a billboard campaign?
But could that also backfire?
Well,
I don't want to do anything that's going to backfire.
He's exactly not going to be mad. He's not going to be, but the problem is if he signs with the Dodgers, we have egg on our face. But I don't mind having egg
on our face. I don't want him to like sign with the Dodgers and go, I was going to sign with the Padres, and then I saw
a billboard,
and it just turned me
That's
off.
That's what's
I don't want to even take the chance that we could negatively impact the pursuit of Roky Sasaki.
On what planet, though, is Ben and Woods wants Roky Sasaki? Is that negative? I'm going to look into it and see how much it costs.
Not sure.
Maybe like a bus.
Should the mural guys make a mural of him somewhere?
Oh, God. A bus bench campaign, perhaps? If anybody's listening that sells outdoor, hit me up.
Take an
ad out in the paper.
Outdoor advertising, that's the industry lingo for billboards and bus benches.
Yeah, outdoor. Yeah, I had some friends that worked in outdoor. Tough gig. You make a lot of money, though. But it's a tough gig.
Would you rather have a billboard or a bus bench?
Me?
I think a billboard.
Ben and Woods? Oh, billboard. Are you kidding?
Bus bench people are just sitting on your face.
What about an actual bus at, like on the on
that's like a wrapped about. Bus?
No. Yeah, no. Not wrapped, but like the side panel.
Oh, I thought
of
you were talking
bus.
About a bus bench.
Oh, that too, like, where people are just, yeah, you're there
waiting
ass.
At the bus stop.
Yeah. No, I meant like a bus.
Or a trolley. You know, those trolley ads are pretty cool where they wrap the whole thing, where even the windows are covered, but you can still see out of the windows, even though. You can from the outside it looks like it's covered, but from the inside
so like
you're
Comic Con all the
yeah,
time.
You can see out the windows. It's very cool.
It is cool. That was our old boss here got me in another show a little picture of us on the front of the studio, and that was our big marketing campaign. You know, for people that walk through the building we were already in. He's like, "Don't say I never did anything for you. Look, you have a picture of yourself in the front of the studio. Well, that's great. No one can see it."
All right, we'll come back. Take on Woods, a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas.
Fake.
And oh, yeah, real or fake? Fake. Throwback right. Thursday. Thank you, Paulie, on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.